If you were the Pittsburgh Penguins players, what are you thinking right now, knowing that you've got a guy coming on board who, has essentially said that thinks maybe the window is closed for this group?
Well, I would think the players are probably looking over their shoulders a little bit. You know, that would have been the case, I'm guessing, no matter who ended up hired in this process. But, you know, it's pretty clear that the Penguins ownership doesn't feel the way Berkey did in that clip you just played, that, you know, that they're making these hires today of Ron Hextall and Brian to, you know, do what they can to try to, you know, have this cup window prop open a little bit longer and to try to win. And, you know, if you look at the time that Brian spent in Toronto here, for example, but even throughout his career, his teams were always pretty active on the trade front. And I would expect, you know, I don't really know what they have to trade, because I would presume they're not dealing one of Letang, Malkin, or Crosby. And so when you consider all the draft picks they've already traded, and they don't really have much in the prospect pipeline, there's not a natural candidate, I guess, to say that they're going to be out the door. But, you know, I think that this will be a pretty aggressive front office almost immediately.
Yes. I'm just still trying to process this, Chris. I have many of the thoughts of Brian Burke kind of embedded in my brain because of working with him. But, you know, one Burkeyism, which might apply now, is that you can only have one set of hands on the steering wheel, and they're mine. You know, that's one of, you know, if Brian's going to go run your hockey team, he's going to run your hockey team. So the owners, you know, you work for the owner, but your hands are on the steering wheel. So I would assume that, you know, what his beliefs are about the Penguins, he has been empowered to enact them. And again, I'm intrigued, CJ, by the combination of him and Ron Hextall as well. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, the guy that goes back a long way. You know, I have to assume, you know, but Berkey's the boss. The structure that's been laid out here is he's in charge. So, you know, I agree with you that he likes to be the one riding the bus. I mean, honestly, I'm still processing it almost on a personal level.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I've worked with Brian, I think it's the last 3 years, every Saturday night during hockey season. The way it turns out, we're usually the first two in the studio. We were last Saturday. We probably sat together for an hour and a half together watching the afternoon game. I'm just a little stunned that he's going back. I'm excited for him, obviously. Going to miss him as a teammate. But, you know, I really thought his days doing this sort of thing were behind him. You know, over the time we worked together, or, you know, had a beer together from time to time, I would obviously ask him about openings or if he ever saw him going back to do this. And he never really seemed to be too inclined to do so. So, you know, I would have to think that tells me, I haven't talked to him since he took this job, but it tells me that this opportunity was too good to pass up. And as I say, I don't think he's going to just sort of tiptoe in and spend a year taking stock of where they're at, you know, getting to know everyone, you know, the way some GMs might, you know, in terms of before making big moves. I really think that they're going to come in, and Brian will be probably the public facing face of the front office. You know, he's far more endeared himself to the microphone over the years than Ron Hextall has, but mm-hmm. You know, obviously those guys will be working in tandem in terms of trying to, you know, get some better players into the Penguins, because, you know, right now I wouldn't have them among the elite teams with a chance to win a cup right now.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to put any words. I'll only put his own words in his mouth. But
you just put them on the paper. You didn't put them in his mouth. You just put them in the paper.
And I'm hoping we'll hear from him very soon this off. But I think, CJ, what you're saying, like one of the things I would say with some confidence is that when Brian, you know, jumped into broadcasting full time after Calgary, he wasn't one of those guys who was just going to park himself somewhere temporarily and wait for the next hockey job. That was not the plan. Like, I don't think he's been sitting there, you know, waiting for somebody to hire him to run a hockey team. I think he was pretty committed, fully committed to what he was doing. So this must have been, you know, this must have been quite an opportunity on a bunch of levels.
Right. I mean, look, you still have two generational all-time centers on the same team. You know, that's what's made Pittsburgh appealing for the last 16 years, you know, having Crosby and Malkin together. And you know, people have already closed the window on them unofficially in the past, and then they managed to pry it back open and win two Stanley Cups in 2016 and 2017. And you know, I'm sure there'll be others out there, and it might even be us, saying that they can't do it again. But, you know, it's just not too often, I would think, that you ever get to work with players like that. And, you know, Brian never won a Stanley Cup. And, you know, anyone who's kind of been in the industry as long as he has, been a hockey lifer, you know, his love for the game would be unquestioned. I mean, I think they, when you present them with an opportunity where they can, you know, win a Stanley Cup and be part of something, you know, it's pretty alluring, you know, even more so than financial benefits or other things that, you know, might make a job one you want to take. And so, you know, I he must be going there thinking that there's a available route here where they can at least put themselves back in that conversation. And, you know, they immediately, to me, go as one of the front offices to watch, not just because we like the guy, but because I think they're going to make some noise here in the next few months.
Well, CJ, the other thing I will say about Brian, too, is that Brian has been really outspoken about what he sees, not outspoken, but has been very clear about what he sees for the financial future of the NHL coming out of the pandemic. And now that voice, that very strong voice, that lawyerly voice is going to be back in the discussion in an official capacity. And I think obviously his work with the team is important, but I think getting him back in the league, I would expect to hear his voice often when it comes to future labor discussions, you know, and how we get out of the how we as a sport get out of the pandemic.
Right. And, you know, he's got a great relationship with Gary Bettman and Bill Daly. I mean, he was a trusted advisor of theirs during the 2012-13 CBA negotiations. You know, he's seen a lot, you know, mm-hmm. Obviously he's an educated guy, but, you know, he's worked for the league. I believe this is his sixth NHL franchise he's worked for now. You know, been a GM, been a president. He's done just about everything you can do in the game. And so, you know, his voice is an important one. And so we'll definitely miss him on Saturdays and Wednesdays and all the work he did for us at Sportsnet. But, you know, I he's not going to go there and be quiet. We're going to know what he's up to and what he's thinking about everything, you know, even though he's now taking this job with Pittsburgh.